When you join a new place, the first day in a new school or the first day on a new job, so generally a person's attitude when he's coming into a new environment and a whole new group of people is that we go in humbly asking to be accepted and sort of just going along with whatever is expected of us and not really being particularly assertive because, you know, that would send the wrong message. Yisro wants to join the Jewish people. And you would imagine most Gerim, when they come and join the Jewish people, are, you know, somewhat timid, somewhat nervous about joining. Yisro instead takes a different tactic. He sends a message, Ani chosemcha Yisro ba'elecha, an announcement heralding his arrival. I, Yisro, am going to join you. And he's apparently expecting a greeting committee. And boy, does he get one. He could not have engineered a better greeting for his arrival than what he got. Moshe came to greet him. Pasnish, Moshe's going to walk alone. So Aaron comes along with Moshe. Pasnish, Aaron and Moshe are going to walk alone. So Nadav and Avihu join along with them. And the Zekanim as well. Oh, if Aaron and Moshe and Nadav and Avihu and the Zekanim are doing something, who wouldn't want to be in that group? So everyone joins. Ganz Klal Yisrael comes out to greet Yisro. So he gets like this 3 million person greeting party to herald his arrival, and all engineered by Yisro. That seems a little over the top, no? It seems a little much for a ger. But apparently, it was really important. That greeting, that arrival of Yisro, was apparently critical, because the parsha that contains as its focal point no less an event than Kabbalas HaTorah is not Parshas Torah or Parshas Nasa V'Nishma. It's Parshas Yisro. Now, granted, it's Parshas Yisro because, you know, we named the Parsha after one of the first few words of the Parsha, not because we named the Parsha after the theme of the Parsha. But, you know, like Parshas Vayeshev is not all about sitting. But, you know, but still, the fact that this Parsha is, starts with Yisro, it's especially difficult to understand in light of the fact that Yisro was not the only ger in history. There were a lot of important members of Egyptian society who converted before him. They're called Erev Rav, partially because they were Gedolim Vesarim who had converted. Rav, they were important people who had converted. So what was the big deal? What was the big event of Yisro's conversion? It was like a major event. You know, the Jews got one. Like, when you have a very powerful person, someone maybe in a very powerful family that converts, so then we hawk a lot about that. You know, that, oh, she's on our side. You know, that. But you're gonna Yisro, what was so great about Yisro's conversion? Rashi comments, Mashmua Shama Uba. What did Yisro hear exactly that motivated him to join? Milchemes Amalek Ukriyas Yamsuf. Two things. Medrash has third, but two things. Milchemes Amalek and Ukriyas Yamsuf. It's interesting that the Medrash and the Gemara in Zvachim Kufta Zayin, that Rashi takes this from, records this not as two things that Yisro heard, but a machlokes. Which of these things motivated Yisro? The Gemara and the Medrash, Mashmur Shamuba, Milchemes Amalek Shamuba, Sheiksuva B'tzido, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says it must be Milchemes Amalek because that was the preceding Parsha. Rabbi Lazar Omer, no, Kriyas Yamsuf Shamuba. It must be that it was Kriyas Yamsuf that motivated him to arrive. Shebisha Shenikra Yamsuf, Nishma Misof Olam Batsofo. You know, all the Midrashim about Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, a person is washing the dishes and the water splits in the sink or whatever, as if they had sinks, and, you know, that everything was splitting. Everyone knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. The whole world heard about it. So Rashi takes these two opinions who disagree with each other and puts them together as one sentence. And nothing in Rashi is by accident. When Rashi formulates something a certain way, it's not just, paraphrasing. That's not, otherwise you ruin the whole godless of Rashi. So he chose this medrash and not that medrash. Because Rashi never says anything on his own, pretty much. You know, all he does is he quotes Ma'amari Chazal. So everything is obviously Bekavana. That's what makes Rashi so great. So what exactly is he trying to teach us by turning two ideas from a machlokes into one cohesive picture? And a third question. Of those two nisim, Which one was more impressive? Melchemes HaMelech or Kriyas Yamsuf? It seems like a no-brainer. At Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem performed, according to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, a multitude of miracles. Shamu Amim Yirgazim, the entire world heard about it and were deeply affected by what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. It was an unprecedented miracle. The whole world takes notice. And that's even before you get to, you know, the candies and the trees, you know, and all the other midrashim about what on earth was going on at Kriyas Yamsuf. Very, very impressive. Melchemes HaMelech, on the other hand, was a war. And it felt like a war. It was painful. There was back and forth. There were times where it didn't look good. At the Gavar HaMelech, where HaMelech looked like they had the upper hand. And then there were times where we were more successful. And after a lot of effort and a lot of pain, we emerged victorious in a very hard-fought battle. There were wars before, and there were wars after that war. So what about a Melchama? Would say, you know, make Yisrael say, wow, anytime anyone... So the next war that happened with the next nation, with any other nation, you know, didn't involve the Jewish people. Just, you know, join that nation? Whatever nation wins a war, that's the nation I'm joining? So what that there was a war? Why does Melchemes HaMelech, why does that matter? So again, three questions. Number one, why was Yisrael's Geirus such a huge event that it demanded a welcoming party of 3 million people? Number two, why does Rashi fuse the Machlokes, Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchemes HaMelech, and make it one issue? And number three, why would anyone think that it was Melchemes HaMelech that did it? Kriyas Yamsuf was far more impressive. We try not to rate miracles, I guess, but like, come on, I mean, it's not even close. So there's one, my favorite Sefer HaChumash, at least for now. I don't know, usually the one I'm learning is my favorite one, but one of my favorite Sefer HaChumash is called Be'er Yosef. Rav Yosef Salant. I know almost nothing about Rav Yosef Salant. Google him. He's left no digital footprint. But he lived about, I think, about 100 years ago. And he has a magnificent Sefer HaChumash. If you can get it, I would strongly recommend it. Rav Yosef Salant suggests that in order to understand the importance of Yisro's Geirus and the timing of Yisro's Geirus, it's important to understand the connection between Melchemes HaMelech and Kriyas Yamsuf. Why are those two events connected? See, at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people seemed completely invincible. We were riding this wave of unprecedented success. The other nations were terrified of us. You know, the football mashal may be a bit late, but imagine an undefeated team that's simply destroying all the competition. Nobody could imagine possibly beating this team. They're impossible to beat. And then one day, HaMelech comes and loses. But it wasn't a one-sided battle. HaMelech attacks that team, and HaMelech loses. The team wins. The team that you expect to win wins. But it wasn't as one-sided as you would have expected. There was back and forth. There was ups and downs. You know, imagine that same undefeated and seemingly invincible team winning a game on like a last second miracle. You know, the team may have won, but now everybody knows that they can be defeated. They lack some of that, I don't know, what's the word? Swagger, right? They like to use that word in sports. They don't have that same, you know, air of invincibility, I think is in normal English the way we would use it. That's what Chazal mean when they compare HaMelech's attack to cooling off a bathtub. Klal Yisrael was riding a high and no one would touch them. And you know what? HaMelech lost. HaMelech lost. But they took away that air of invincibility. And in any movement, in any organization, and very often in one's personal life, there are times where like you have this wave of energy where you feel like, yeah, you know, things are going great and like your head held up high and you're just, things are going well and you feel like nothing could happen to you. Inevitably, in any organization, any shul or school, any individual's life, even family life, there comes a time where things level out. Or sometimes maybe even head in the other direction. And at times like that, we need like a shot in the arm, a boost of confidence, something to re-energize and rebuild confidence in what we're doing. That's where Yisroel comes in. You understand what Kriyas Yam Suf was? That was the swagger. We understand what Melchamas HaMelech is. That's showing that we're not invincible. Yisroel comes and serves as the vehicle to re-energize Klal Yisrael. He wasn't just another convert joining our ranks at a random, nondescript time. He was the Kohen Midyan, the world's most respected theologian, in a time in history when theology mattered like more than celebrity gossip. You know, not like today. When Chazal say Lo Hiniach Avodah Zarah Ba'olam Shelo Avado, that there was not a single Avodah Zarah that he didn't serve, it doesn't mean that he was a flake and he couldn't decide on a religion. It means he studied and understood every single religion and their relative pros and cons. For a person of that stature and knowledge in the area of religion to publicly choose Klal Yisrael and effectively say the Jewish people have it right, that was an incredible shot in the arm for the Jewish people. This young nation that needed it to continue an upward trajectory. Judaism today is the oldest religion in the world, but then it was the youngest religion in the world. So we needed that. It was critical for the survival. So Rashi, in his subtle way, tells us that it wasn't a single event that impressed Yisroel. Not Melchamas HaMelech, and not even Kriyas Yam Suf alone would set the stage properly for Yisroel's conversion. Impressive as they both are, it was specifically after Yisroel saw the effect of Kriyas Yam Suf and how Melchamas HaMelech robbed us of that positive effect that Yisroel decided he's going to make the difference. And in order to have maximum impact, Yisroel saw to it that his joining of Klal Yisrael was going to be a spectacle. It wasn't going to be a private event where some people heard, oh yeah, I heard, maybe he came. No, it was going to be this energizing spectacle where 3 million people, and he knew what he was doing, when he announced, I'm going to be coming and I expect a greeting party, because who's not going to come? Who's going to come if not his son-in-law? And who's not going to come if his son-in-law comes? It had to be something that people would take notice of. And that's perhaps what Yisroel was thinking. And it's an important mussar in general in life, that just because we hit a snag in certain things, you know, sometimes you start a new semester and you're like a kid in like grade school. Every year, okay, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year where I'm going to start behaving. I'm not going to get thrown out of school. I'm never going to see the principal's office, you know? Or like, you know, for people your age, you know, this semester, I'm not going to compromise any of my siddurim. I'm going to morning seder, night seder. This is going to be the one. I'm serious. And, then, you know, maybe it lasts, you know, halavai a week or two, usually a day or two. And we start already to falter a little bit. We start to feel the pressures and we start to... At times like that, it doesn't mean you're finished. It means you need a little jolt. It means you need a little inspiration in your life. It means you need something to wake you back up. But it doesn't mean you're finished. Life would be very easy if we could always have that hischachos, that sense of hischachos. But that's not what life is. There's always, it's inevitable, in the most greatest, in the most successful companies, in the greatest accomplishments in the world were accomplished after there was that snag. It always happens. So something just to keep in mind as we continue to try to strive and to grow.